Me and Lori attended a funeral for one of our neighbors. Oh, it's been a few years ago. And anyways, they had six people. That was their choir. And when they began to sing, you would have thought there was 40 or 50. As Lori brought up, we should sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He gets the glory. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. Turn your Bibles. Book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, if you will. The physician. Go to chapter 22 and we'll pick up verse 31. When you get there, go ahead and stand so that we reverence the Lord. Got just a few verses to read as our text. I'll make a few comments and we'll give an invitation. I'll try not to be long-winded this morning. I said I'd try. Luke chapter 22 and beginning with verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And verse 34 says, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this honor and privilege of being in your house with your people this morning. Thank you for each home represented this morning in your sanctuary. And Father, as we come first and foremost to worship, to praise you, and to serve you this morning. And Lord, I pray you'll be with me now as I break the bread of life. Give me the words to say. May it be blessed and may it reach its intended purposes. Allow your people to have open hearts and ears to receive what you have for them through your word. And I pray, Lord, that I will preach with boldness and authority your truth. And Lord, just use me for your glory. And I thank you for this privilege and honor standing before your congregation. You've heard all the prayer requests that have been spoken. Heard the songs of praise, Lord, to prepare our hearts for worship. And now, Lord, we thank you for this honor of being able to open your word. If there's one here today that doesn't know you as Savior and the free pardon of sin, Heavenly Father, let your Holy Spirit convict them and convince them of that need before it's too late. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. We just thank you for blessing this church, Lord. May we continue to be a light in this community. May we continue to preach the word and to teach it. Lord, it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I would ask that the church, thinks she might be having a heart attack, and Lori's taking her to the hospital. So please, church, be in prayer for our daughter-in-law. Everything's going to be okay because we serve a mighty God, a loving God, and a merciful God. But pray for my daughter-in-law. You know, we go through lots of trials, don't we? We go through more than what we'd ever want to. But let me share something with you this morning. We're going to have tests in our lives. And this passage I've read as a text was a test. Apostle Peter. And I want to tell you, I'll go ahead and say it. Peter failed the test. You say, no, he failed the test. But listen to me, he wasn't thrown away. You and I are going to time to time. Don't say, no, it would never happen to me. You're fooling yourselves. It's going to happen. Sin is going to come into your life, whether you want it or not. You say, no, listen. Sin comes into our lives even after we're saved. Generally, most people have the idea, well, I no longer have a problem with sin. I haven't read your Bible very much. Because if you go to 1 John chapter 1, I would begin with verse 8. And just finish out the chapter, which is only three verses, 8 through 10. It'll pretty much say that if you're going to sit there and stand before somebody and say, I don't have a problem with sin, I don't sin, the Bible calls you a liar. You've denied the truth. I got an uncle on my dad's side. He's a four-square preacher. And them four-square Pentecosts, I'm here to tell you, they believe different than I do. They believe different than what this book teaches. But he'll look you square in the eyes and tell you, nope, I come to Jesus, I've never sinned since. Unc, I hate to say it, but you're lying to yourself. Okay. But my point is this. We're going to go through adversity. We're going to have trials. And we're going to be tested. And the good news is this. Even though we go through those things, and God knows exactly what's going to happen, even though we're tested, and even though we fail, listen, it doesn't mean we have to drag ourselves away and just disappear. Because, listen, God is able to shake the dirt off of us, clean us up again, and get us back on track. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. How about you? Now, the first point I want to make is that we have a very determined foe. Amen? And his name is the devil. Satan is a determined foe. And the Bible says, Peter even said this about him, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have a foe that wants to see us fail. In fact, notice verse 31. I want to share something with you. And of course the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. And that word desired means to demand or to ask for oneself. In other words, Simon, or Peter, if you will, Peter, the devil wants to test you. He desired to sift you as wheat. And understand that sifting comes from an agricultural word that we're all aware of, and that's when you take wheat and you crush it with your feet, and then you put it in a basket and you agitate it, if you will, or toss it in the wind, and the husk separates from the kernel. And that's what he's talking about. But he's saying, Peter, Satan wants to test you. Beloved, believe me this morning, he wants to test us. And I'll go ahead and he won't charge you. He wants to test you to see that you fall. And he's going to do it, and here's the bad news, he's going to do it as long as you're on this side of the As long as you live, even though you're saved, your name's written in the book of life, you have a home in heaven waiting for you. While you're here on this earth, he's going to test you, and he's going to test you till you die. The sad thing is, we tend to fail the test. Amen. And the blame goes to the Lord. It doesn't go to Satan, who's the one testing us. Yes, God allows Satan to test us. But when we do get tested and we fail, well, it's God's fault. He should have known I was weak in that area. No, listen to me. The devil's going to test you and me. You see, he's to rob us of everything that God has done for us. He's out to cause havoc in your home and family. He's out to cause havoc in your church family. He's out to cause havoc in your life. He wants you to take your eyes off of Jesus. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to ruin your influence. You see, he's out to test us. You see, this is the deal. The devil thought, you know what? I got old Judas. I think Peter and the other disciples, they're just like him. So, I don't believe the profession's the real thing. So, I'm going to test them. By the way, that's what he wants to do. He wants us to believe that our profession of faith is not real. But if you have called upon the name of the Lord, and you've confessed your sins, you've repented and turned away from those sins, and by faith trusted Jesus with all your heart, you are saved, beloved. And you don't have to worry about hell. Amen? You don't have to. But he was out to test Simon. And how does he test us? Temptation. That's how he tests us. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'm so strong in the faith, I don't give in to temptation anymore. Well, that's where you're going to be tempted today before it's over with. Because you believe you're able to stand in your own power. The true Christian knows we can only stand in God's power. We're not capable of standing and taking on Satan in our own strength and power. Amen? You see, sin isn't committed in a vacuum either. I'll throw that in. And what I mean by that is when you do fail, and it's inevitable. You're going to sin. When you do, it doesn't just affect you, it affects those around you. When Adam sinned, it affected the whole world. When David sinned with Bathsheba, who did it affect? Well, David, Bathsheba, that little baby that was conceived. How about Bathsheba's husband? What about the whole kingdom? That sin affected everybody. And you and I need to realize that if we do give in to sin, it will affect those around us. Too many people think that, no, it's my life. It won't affect me or those that I love. Boy, wake up this morning. Smell the coffee. Because it'll affect them. So, again, look at what he says. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan's desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But look at this. But I have prayed for thee. Oh, what a diligent friend. You see, it's bad enough the Savior comes to Peter and says, Peter, well, you're going to be tested, son. But it must have been great relief to Peter in knowing that the Lord's going to pray for me. And beloved, this morning I want you to understand, when we are tested, we go through these adversities, these trials, understand we are not alone. understand He is right with us. And He can give us everything that we need to equip us to be able to overcome those temptations. Now listen, again, I'm not trying to say you'll never sin, because you will. You will fail from time to time. But listen, He does make a way of escape. He does equip us to be able to overcome. And let me say this. When we sin, what does He want us to do? What does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to confess our sins, repent and turn from them, and what? Accept His forgiveness. That's what He wants. And He will do that. How do I know? Because our God is a God of reconciliation. You've read the story, the prodigal son. What happened when he came home to the father? He was reconciled, fully forgiven, and restored. And when you fall during the test that God's going to place on you, by the way, some of those tests are pretty hard. When you fall, remember, He's more than willing to forgive you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Understand this morning that the Lord knows us. I mean, think about it. If He held sin against us, there wouldn't be nobody here to be saved. Amen? Lots of folks have it in their minds that, well, I'm moral. I'm better than that person over there because, after all, I don't do what he or she does. But God does not hold one sin worse than another sin. He doesn't compare the two. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And it takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from that sin. Amen. I love what Solomon said in Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Look at what he says in verse 13. If I can get to chapter 28, there we go. Notice what he says in verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what? Mercy. Did y'all get that? You mean to tell me when I fall, preacher, all I got to do is confess my sin?
Yep.
Repent of your sin. And by the way, that word repentance means to turn away from. That don't mean, Lord, forgive me, and then go back into the same sin and do it again. Lord, forgive me, and go back into it. No. You repent. You turn away from it. But when you do that, the Word of God promises us that we will be forgiven. And I am thankful for His mercy. Now, he said, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art what? Converted. Strengthen thy brother. Thy brethren. Now, that word converted means this. When you have repented, or you come back to me. Now, the Lord knew he was going to fall. He knew that Peter was going to fall flat on his face. You say, well, didn't the other disciples fail the Lord? Yeah, there was a time in the garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus went to the cross, and he asked his inner circle to go with him a little farther into the garden and to pray. And yes, they failed the Lord because they fell asleep and didn't pray. You You say, well, then they were all guilty. Well, they all failed the Lord, yes. But Peter's failure was a lot worse. You say, how is that possible? Because the Lord knew it wasn't just about falling asleep. It was about Peter denying that he ever knew the Lord as his personal Savior. Now that's a big spiritual failure, to deny the Savior. But before we throw rocks at Peter and point fingers at him, how many times have we denied the Savior? How many times have we denied him when he's put somebody in our path that Holy Spirit says, talk to him? Or driving down the road and you see somebody broke down on the side of the road, and the Spirit says you ought to stop, and you just keep going. Or you go off into the grocery store or fast food place, and you see somebody with a sign saying, I'm hungry, and we tend to turn our eyes away, and we go in. That's failing the Lord. How many times have we failed the Lord when really we could have come to church, but oh, that extra hour of sleep would be good. I'm so tired. I've worked so hard this week. I think I'll just stay home. I'll catch Brother John on the internet. Folks, that's not church. Amen. Don't get me wrong. It's a tool, but it's not church. And Pastor John don't like seeing empty pews. Amen. It's hard for me to preach when there ain't nobody here to preach to. Amen. It doesn't motivate me. Let's get off of that, I guess. I'll get in trouble with you. But my point is this, how many times do we fail the Lord? And Peter really failed the Lord, but Peter in his style, I love what he says. Look at verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter goes, Lord, you know I love you. I'll follow you anywhere you go. If it's prison, I'm there. I'm your cell buddy. If it's death, hey, I'll die for you. But see, Peter forgot one important thing. You know what it was? Big spiritual truth here. Never say never. Let me repeat that. Never say never. Whosoever thinketh he standeth, beware lest he fall. You see, Peter forgot that. And the Lord called him to the carpet and said, Peter, before that old rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, not me. I would never. But he did. Now, the good news is that wasn't the end. Even though Peter failed the Lord, God used him in many, many ways when he was restored. He preached on the day of Pentecost. Look at all the souls that came to the saving knowledge of Christ. He served the Lord faithfully and gave us first. And second, Peter in the book. God didn't throw him away. Beloved, he won't throw you away either. Speaking of, go back to Proverbs chapter 28. Look at verse, oh, I think it's 23 maybe. No, 26. Proverbs 28, look at verse 26. Boy, God's word is good. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Ooh. How many fools we got here this morning? But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Think about that for a second. when we depend on ourselves and we think that we're able to handle it, he says, you're a fool. But if we walk wisely, and by the way, I ain't the wisest, but I know who is wise. Amen. And that's who I trust. Amen. Amen. Now, understand. Peter forgot, you never say never. And people forget that all the time. Now, go back to our text. Real quick. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. He not only forgot, never say never, but he also forgot his weakest in his life or heart. Always ends up coming from the strongest place of faith in our hearts. Now, I know that sounds like a paradox, and it don't make sense, but it does. You see, we tend, as Christians, to say, Lord, I got this down. That old sin you delivered me from, it'll never bother me again. It'll never bother me. Ah! Y'all know my testimony, I was a drunk. And even though since I've been saved, I've never had a touch, a drop, he delivered me from that. Amen. I'm smart enough to understand I can't let my guard down. I'm smart enough to understand I can't be around people that serve that stuff, drink that stuff, because I could end up falling big time. You say, oh no, that's your strongest point. No! My point is this. We are all capable of falling and sinning. And believe me, when we're at our weakest, what does the devil do? He attacks. He pounces. And that's where a lot of our brothers and sisters mess up. They think they're too strong. I'll say it one more time. If anybody thinks they can't sin, you're already on dangerous ground this morning. Because, listen, at any moment, you say, well, I'd never do that. Do you know how many brothers and sisters in Christ I've talked to over the years that have said that very thing? Well, I never thought it was possible for me to do that. I'd never even fathomed I was capable. The point is this, and I'll hush. Peter, when you're strengthened, you're converted, you come back to me. Strengthen your brethren. And also, by the way, Peter, just stop. Oh, no, Lord, listen. I'll go to prison with you. I'll give up my life for you. Don't have to worry about me. You may have to these other brethren over here. But me, I'm good with you. And I'm there. Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Hush. But listen. I'm praying for you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you what you need to overcome temptation. But if you do fall, which more likely you're going to, and by the way, he did, listen, know this. Confess your sin. repent of your sin, turn from it, and I'll forgive you. And if you're under the sound of my voice, and maybe you've been tested, and maybe you've sinned, but praise God, you've been restored. Praise the Lord, you can help others now. But maybe you're here and you're about to. It's your turn to be tested. And you're about to give in to sin. Don't stay in that condition. We don't have to. And you don't have to crawl off and say, well, God will never use me again. I'll just quit. No. Repent, confess your sin, and return to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'll say this and I'm done, I promise. Two things. Guaranteed. When a person falls into sin, they make a profession of faith, and they fall into sin, and they stay in that sin, and they stay in that sin, and they stay in that sin, I'll go ahead and say it, they weren't saved in the first place. False profession. Two. One of them falls into sin, and they rebel against God and want to stay in that sin. If they're truly saved, I assure you God will yank their chain. I assure you He will bust their tail. That's how you can tell. Either they're not saved or they're saved, but they're going to get a whipping. Because God ain't going to allow us to stay down in a hog pit. This ain't going to happen. Anybody that says that He lets you stay in a hog pit for a long... No, He doesn't either. Because He knows what's best for us. Y'all ever slopped hogs? I'm going to tell you, it stinks. It's dirty. Not a good place to be. But that's what sin is, isn't it? It stinks, and it's dirty, and it's a place you don't want to be. Amen. You want to get out of there as quick as you can. You want to pour them buckets and get out of there. And by the way, I'll throw this in. You ever seen what happens at a trough with a bunch of old hogs when you throw the swill in? It's a sight. They'll fight. They'll nudge one another. Push one another out of the way. They got little piglets. They'll just knock them things over. I mean, the big dog at the trough is all that matters. You say, well, why are you throwing that in? To say this. You may think nobody sees your sin. You may think that sin's no big deal. But there is someone in heaven that's going to butt in. Devil may trick you and tell you, it's all right, a little sin ain't much. You owe it to yourself. God's probably not even paying attention. He probably don't care. But you listen to me. God does care, and He will get the last word. Amen. Now, in close, get this. We serve a loving God. And God has provided salvation for all people. Best plan there ever was. And it's not just for some, it's for all. He's also, when we fall short of the mark, He's also there to pick us up and deliver us from that trial, that adversity, that test. Those tests are going to come. Please get that. I know some of you are probably having those tests right now, probably in adversity right now. I have no idea what you're going through or what you're dealing with, but God does. Listen, you can make it. God will see you through. And you know why? Not because He has to or you deserve it, but because He loves you. That is the Lord. So if you're under the sound of my voice, if you want help for the test you're going to be facing, and as I said earlier, the devil is going to test you. He is out to destroy and take away everything that you have. He wants to leave you nothing but an empty shell. Therefore, he can accuse the brethren before the Lord and say, yeah, that's your children, all right. But guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He's greater. And the Word of God says, we are more than conquerors. Amen? I'm thankful. If you need help this morning, the altar's open. If you've never trusted Jesus for salvation, this altar's open. Listen, He loves you. He's provided a salvation that is eternal, and that's the real deal. And all you have to do to receive it is ask and accept. That's pretty easy. I don't know how easier it could be. Lord, I'm a sinner. I just want to be saved. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and be my Savior. And if you pray that and you believe that with your heart, it's a done deal. It's done. But if you don't have salvation, you're invited to come and partake of it here and now. You need strength for your walk, altar's open.